Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We also are convinced the checks and balances absolutely brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the keys to the exercise to preserve the nation, to restore the republic, whatever term you want to use, to make America great again. The goal always to preserve this wonderful land we know as America, the United States of America, a republic, if you can keep it, the founders said. Man, we got a road to hoe, but a good, honest, wise American people, no doubt, can get it done. We've done it before, and we can do it again. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope y'all had an absolutely delightful weekend. I certainly did. For members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS, or nicknamed the Mormons, it is a semi-annual general conference of the church. And what happens on the General Conference is worldwide we get together and learn about Jesus Christ, hear from prophets, seers, and revelators. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has 12 apostles, and the organization of the earlier church when Jesus Christ was alive, restored again today. Anyway, I bring this all up because we try to give you a little bit of an update of what happened during that General Conference. It's complicated because there's There's two 2-hour sessions on Saturday and two 2-hour sessions on Sunday. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8 hours of incredible church-wide information, education, gospel teaching, if you will. And then Saturday night, there's a third session, and that's for the men of the church. And the week before, they had the women's 2-hour session. And sometimes those go an hour and a half or so. Sometimes they're a little bit shorter. But the point is there's literally 10 total sessions. 2 sessions Saturday and Sunday for the church wide, and then a session for women and a session for men. And, you know, the church does believe in gender, folks, that we our gender is fixed. Male and female created God them, if you will, or God created them. That's a serious eternal characteristic of who we are and cannot be changed by the whims of men. Nevertheless, we talked about learning of Jesus Christ, increasing our faith, forgiveness, preparation, just all kinds of tremendous messages about morality and integrity and hope, and just a treasure trove, in my opinion. Incredible opportunity. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Anyway, the conference was incredible. Any tidbits you want to mention? We don't have too much time to spend on this. We've got a lot to cover today, but I wanted to at least bring it up and let people, you know, you can go to LDS.org. You can watch the whole thing. You can learn about it. Yeah, you can read summaries on the internet from different news organizations about what happened. Bottom line, though, it answers the questions where we came from, why we're here, where we're going. Just a treasure trove of information, sir.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what else to add. Like you said, there's a lot of hours there, a lot of audio, video available, written word, but all encouraging kind of stuff that at least I think would improve anybody's life.
Yeah, and you know, we try to bring up if the Catholics have a big event or the Protestants or the Evangelicals or whoever the group is, you know, we try to bring it up because I think, you know, people do want to learn and understand about others' beliefs and what they're doing and what's coming out of their leadership and those kind of things. And so we bring it up in that venue, if you will. But anyway, just we'll bring up a couple of tidbits over the next several days, a couple of themes that were talked about that we found fascinating as well. We'll break it down as we go. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. I know this is not a Mormon show, but I wanted to give you a chance too. Did you get a chance to watch the conference?
Sure did, Sam.
Any quick comments?
Well, you know, one of the great things I like about conference is the stories they tell.
Yes,
they
sir.
Illustrate the gospel principle, right?
Yes.
And one of the ones that I thought was just delightful was this notion. One of the speakers honored caregivers and
Great point.
Those who take care of those who are really not able to take care of themselves, those who have dementia or Alzheimer's disease or something like that. And this one really cute story of a caregiver whose wife had Alzheimer's disease and was just, one time she said to her husband, she says, I just wish my husband could be with me or something like that. And of course, her husband said to her, well, I'm here, dear. And she said, oh, good,
And it just demonstrates the importance, the power of marriage and love and service to one another as the Savior Jesus Christ set the example. Excellent point. And by the way, we even commend Chelsea Clinton if she's given some caregiving to her mother, Hillary. We even support that, ladies and gentlemen. So this is not bipartisan in any way. And we certainly don't mean to make this a Mormon show, although, you know what, we never hide the fact that we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we just felt like if anybody's going to give a breakdown, it ought to be us. So a quick recap of Friday's show before the incredible weekend occurred. Outrage is developing in the tech world regarding this discovery that HP is installing software into their printers saying, hey, you can't, install any other print cartridges except for HP. And everybody's going kind of belligerent about that. And I just simply say, you know what, HP can do whatever they want in the private sector. If that's the way they want their printers, you can either like it or you can go buy a different printer. Now, I'm concerned when government does it because it turns into a tyranny. It turns into a monopoly. But HP can do it. Now, I think that they'll lose people buying their printers as a result. They'll lose market share. But they can do what they want to, folks. Let's understand property rights and private business can do what they want to. If I want to make a talk show and I want to build a radio and the only way you can listen to my talk show is my radio, I can go ahead and do that. I may decrease my listenership tremendously. I wouldn't advise it, but again, everybody's going kind of berserk, but they got to understand the free market, okay? All right, the Environmental Protection Agency, also known as the EPA, finalized two global warming regulations to ban chemicals used in refrigerators and air conditioning units. DailyCaller.com brought the piece to us. This is happening while everybody else was focused on the debates all last week, folks. We also talked about 8 million Americans paid $1.7 billion in 2014 for not having Obamacare. Yeah, that was way more than the IRS initially predicted. What it means is twofold. One, we're getting absolutely ripped off. That's money that Americans could have spent on their own health care, by the way. In other words, 8 million Americans had $1.7 billion that they could have taken care of their own health care, but no government stole that money. And Obamacare's melting down everywhere, folks. Something Donald Trump and Daryl Castle and many others, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, they had a hammer on hard. Government health care is an absolute failure. Premiums are skyrocketing by more than 50% in some states, and deductibles, believe it or not, average more than $5,000 for some of the cheapest plans. Even after spending that $1.7 billion, Americans can't see daylight. They can't meet the deductibles. It's just a disaster. That was hour one. Hour two, Liberty Roundtable. We had our guest on Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. He's on an incredible speaking tour in Florida. And we talked about we need to free the slaves from Massa IRS. Shut down the IRS today. We talked about this, and believe it or not, Alan Keyes is the one that coined that term, so don't mock me for being a white guy. Alan Keyes ran around the country saying, Massa, free me from the IRS. And boy, does he have a point. We could set aside the race discussion and say every American needs tax freedom, that's for sure. We also talked about this guy, DeRay McKesson. He's one of the Black Lives Matter leaders. He says there's no justification for police use of deadly force. Asked about the murder connection, Hillary supporter Melissa Machado said, I'm not a saint girl. In other words, she's not even denying she was involved with a murder getaway car. Wow. And the Black Lives Matter. See, these people are not pro-life, that's for sure. And that's a recap that took place on Friday. Incredible broadcasting, to say the least. By the way, if you want to become a member of the CSPOA and support Richard Mack's speaking tour, and get a lot of incredible training on the proper role of limited government and the Constitution and the proper role of law enforcement and more, CSPOA.org, become a lifetime member as I am today, would you please? Quick pause. We'll come right back. Lowell Nelson, our guest. Couple of quick headlines and then straight to his news the networks refuse to use, as always. You are listening. Boy, do we have a barn burner guest next hour. I'm not even going to tell you who it is, but just trust me, it'll be incredible. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things, because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kurt Crosby, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty.org, and Sam Bushman on your radio. Couple of quick things before we get to the news Lowell has. Clinton calls Trump supporters basket of deplorables, as you know, but now calling Bernie Sanders backers as basement dwellers. People are so excited about this, believe it or not. There's a new t-shirt out, quote, proud member of the basket of deplorables. What do you think of that, Lowell?
That's the rubbing it in their face, right?
Yeah, it's basically the free market at work. People are mocking Hillary for it. But what I find fascinating is this double standard. We saw it during the debate. They attacked Donald for not paying income tax, but yet they're not attacking Hillary for her perjury before Congress, for her and her staff destroying evidence against a court order. Really, to me, the takeaway here is amazing. They say Donald's not good to women, but yet Hillary Clinton created the term bimbo eruptions. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, I'm not really defending Donald. He's got some issues as well, but I mean, the comparison is beyond imagination. Over the weekend, the New York Times really ripped Donald Trump apart, saying, hey, you know, Donald hasn't paid taxes for 18 years. He failed at his companies and got a big old windfall for the government. Donald isn't denying it. Donald says it's because he's smart, whatever. But it turns out the New York Times took advantage of the complexity of the tax code and paid zero taxes in 2014. Now, the bottom line is these claims about Donald are based on illegal access to Trump's tax returns. They say he hasn't paid taxes for the last 18 years. Now, here's the interesting quick tidbit. Rudy Giuliani, a close advisor to Donald Trump, says the Republican candidate is a genius if he avoided the income tax. And he says poor people could take advantage of the same loopholes. But believe it or not, there's headlines that have been garnered over the last year and a half. 27 giant profitable companies paid no taxes. USA Today, 20% of big companies pay zero corporate taxes. Money.cnn.com. More than 90% of U.S. businesses don't pay the corporate income tax, says Forbes. So I find this fascinating. They're attacking Donald on the taxes. Don't get me wrong. I think not paying any is, you know, actually a good thing. And I'm glad people have found loopholes to not pay taxes. Rather than be mad at somebody for getting off the tax abuse burden, we ought to be grateful and say, great, teach us how to do it too. How can this apply to the rest of us? In other words, like the cigarette smoker. I don't want to try to raise taxes on the other guy. I'm glad Donald got a great deal. Maybe he can help the rest of us get a great deal. But it's interesting, they beat up Donald Trump over this, but it's a non-story. Companies have been doing this for literally decades as well. But yet they attack Donald over taxes, and yet they leave Hillary Clinton alone when she's literally perjured herself before Congress. Her husband did the same thing and got impeached over it. And these people literally have destroyed evidence in multiple cases, this latest time against a court order to not do so, and there's still no accountability. To me, the double standard is what the focus should be here. And to me, the goal should be how can the rest of us pay less unconstitutional communist manifesto-backed income tax, lol?
Absolutely right, Sam. That's where the discussion really ought to be. How can we eliminate the income tax? Not, well, we shouldn't be arguing about, well, he paid less tax than I did. By the way, Sam, that story that I heard this morning, maybe I heard it wrong, but I thought that the news media was lambasting Trump for failing to take advantage of like $900 million in tax.
No, you heard the story wrong. They're saying that he got that as a windfall based on exploiting the laws and his loss of his companies. There's a loophole in the law that gave him a windfall and he paid no income tax. In fact, he was able to create a windfall of money because of that.
I see. Well, I applaud him for doing that. I would wish that all Americans could find that same loophole and so forth. And actually, that the income tax be eliminated altogether. That would be
well. And I'm sending my 22 recommendations to Donald Trump before the debate because he asked for them. And one of them is to turn this into a clarion call to abolish the IRS, to set aside race baiting and race discussions, and let's free all Americans, all the slaves, from the abusive IRS.
I also like his suggestion that Hillary Clinton produced the 30,000 plus emails before he produced his tax return. That was pretty cool.
We need more of that, ladies and gentlemen, to say the least. All right, LeBron James endorsed Hillary Clinton. That's a headline for the mainstream press, highlighting this double standard. They then go down in the story, and at the bottom of the story, it talks about four or five or six well-known athlete leaders backing Donald. But, of course, the headline is single-person LeBron James backing Hillary. You got to read the rest of the story, I guess. This is the double standard they promote. If you beat them up about it, they'll say, oh, well, we admitted to it. It's in our article. But the fact is they highlighted one and downplayed the other. All right, you went to a movie, lol.
Yeah, the movie Sully, starring Tom Hanks. It's a pretty popular movie. Most people have probably seen it by now. If you haven't, I definitely recommend it. This is a story about Captain Sullenberger, who was the captain of Flight 1549 that took off from LaGuardia Airport here on January 15th of 2009. They climbed. They were climbing up, and at the altitude of 2,800 feet, Sam, they hit a flock of Canadian geese, which disabled both jet engines, forcing the plane to land in the Hudson River, and miraculously had no casualties. Nobody lost their life in that event. Now, one of the reasons I like this movie, Sam, is because it portrays some of the intrigue going on between the NTSB and the pilot Sullenberger. The NTSB is portrayed as being a body that was seeking a predetermined outcome to the investigation into the incident. They wanted the verdict of their investigation to be pilot error. But Sullenberger, he was able to turn the tables on the NTSB, forced them to admit that the loss of the flight was unavoidable, and that Sullenberger did in fact act correctly in performing the only option he had available to him as pilot, and that was to land on the Hudson River. I mean, had he tried to return to LaGuardia, or to that other airport only 7 miles away, he would have crash-landed, probably hit into buildings, and of course that's something that New York did not need again, just only 8 years after 2001, the 9/11 event. And so I just thought it was very interesting that the NTSB would go after some predetermined outcome, and they would try to tilt the evidence in their favor to get that outcome. And so I think there's a lesson in the movie here. One of the lessons for us is to distrust the outcomes of any commission, any board, any government entity that is, you know, commissioned to get to the bottom of some event, to find the truth of some event. And as evidence of that, I can cite the Warren Commission, the 9/11 Commission. I mean, both of those and many, many others had a certain outcome they sought from the beginning, and they went in.
Well, even the review of Flight 800.
Yeah, absolutely. They went in with a desire to reach some predetermined outcome that would either treat them more favorably or would put someone else to blame.
The Oklahoma whatever. City bombing comes to mind. Jesse Trenadue, Kenneth Trenadue's brother, Kenneth got murdered in that. Jesse's been at it for 20 years now. He's been trying to find out the truth to that fiasco as well.
Absolutely right. The Trinity situation. And so typically the investigating body does not have...
Not to mention, by the way, Lowell Nelson, not to mention the death of Lavoie Finicum.
Oh, absolutely, Sam. Good point.
All right. I just want to bring it to modern times. Lowell in seconds. Incredible stuff. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use talk station.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Despite threats from Riyadh, pleas from the White House, and warnings of dire legal and diplomatic consequences, the Senate voted overwhelmingly to override Barack Obama's veto of a measure allowing victims and survivors of the 9/11 attacks to sue the government of Saudi Arabia for any role it played in supporting, funding, or protecting those involved in the plot. Notes The Hill, not a single Democrat came to the Senate floor before the vote to argue in favor of Obama's position. Lawmakers don't want to be seen as soft on punishing terrorist sponsors a few weeks before the election, at a time when voters are increasingly worried about radical Islamic terrorism in the wake of recent attacks in Manhattan, Minnesota, and Orlando, Florida. The measure
entitled the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, or JASTA, had passed both the Senate and the House unanimously earlier this year. Senate Republican Whip John Cornyn of Texas described a passage of the bill and the vote to override Obama's veto as pretty much close to a miraculous occurrence. Within hours of the Senate vote, the House also approved the override by an overwhelming majority. In a letter to the Senate prior to the override vote, Obama reiterated the claim that the consequences of JASTA could be devastating to the Department of Defense and its service members, and there is no doubt that the consequences could be equally significant for our foreign affairs and intelligence communities. Both Obama and several high-profile Bush administration veterans, such as former UN Ambassador John Bolton, warn that the measure undermines the principle of sovereign immunity and could lead to lawsuits by victims of U.S. drone strikes and similar operations. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman, and Kirk Crosby on your radio. We're talking about this movie that Lowell saw called Sully. And Lowell likes the movie because it really highlights the fact that, you know what, oftentimes government has this preconceived outcome that they want to promote. Oftentimes it's for cover-up. Oftentimes it may be just government officials ignorant, not willing to go there, that the government may be the problem or, you know, whatever the case may be. But Sully, Tom Hanks, one of the lead actors, talking about Flight 1549. That's the flight that went down because the geese got in the engines. And at first they tried to blame it on pilot error, right, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. They wanted to blame Sullenberger for making the wrong decision and immediately turning back to land at LaGuardia Airport, but instead he landed in the Hudson River and thereby endangered the lives of his 155 passengers and crewmen on board that flight. But in reality, it took a number of seconds for the humans in control, you know, Sullenberger and his co-pilot. It takes a few seconds for them to determine, you know, that they have lost both engines, that they can't make it back, and then what to do about the situation. A fascinating movie. You know, I came home that night, and hadn't known that he had been on Letterman's show and various other clips of the real thing. And so I spent the next hour or two just listening to and seeing video of the movie, the behind the scenes stuff, and also the video from that was actually shot in the month succeeding January 15th of 2009. When Sullenberger was getting so much press, and it was just fascinating to me, Sam. And maybe it's not to a lot of people, but to me it was fascinating. And the takeaway for me, Sam, is that good men and women need to stand up for truth and justice wherever they can, at all levels of government, and boards and commissions and councils. We're talking at the state level, the county level, the city level, at the service district level. I mean, there are so many government entities in which good men and women can be involved, and because of the involvement of good men and women, they can ensure that these government bodies seek out the truth, publicize the truth, that they're transparent in what they do, that they don't pervert justice, but instead they expose it and oppose injustice.
All it takes is a few, huh, Lowell?
It just takes one or two. You and I both know, Sam, that one man or one woman on a jury of 12 people can stop the enforcement of a bad law and can rule not guilty someone who truly is not guilty of a crime.
And that's if Americans want to do something about the IRS, that's exactly what they need to do.
And for many years, that's what happened in Montana.
Agreed.
You're probably familiar with the Red Beckman, who published books up there, and there was said for a number of years that the IRS simply could not get a conviction in the state of Montana because the citizens of Montana were so well informed about their duty as jurors to judge the justness of the law in addition to the facts of around the alleged crime.
All right, Lowell, you write in summation of this incredible movie, Sully, the lesson in this movie for all.
Yes, for all of us, is to distrust the outcomes of any commission or board or government entity tasked to get to the bottom of some event. And I'm reminded of the words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, do not put your trust, do not put your confidence in men, right? But bind them down by the chains of the Constitution. And so what he was saying was that let the law rule what men and women do. Don't let them rule by their whim, but bind them down by the chains of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And if we would do that, if we more good people would get involved at all levels of government, on boards and commissions and councils, then we would actually have good government.
Now, there's a lot of people criticizing Mike Lee, and in many cases, I think some of the criticism is justified. However, Mike Lee's doing a great job on a lot of fronts, and Mike Lee is the man that we put in place after we got, in my opinion, a rogue politician out, thank heavens. But Mike Lee's far from perfect, like the rest of us, but he is doing something tremendous we wanted to tell you about, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. The bill called, it's the Allow Act, Alternatives to Licensing that Lower Obstacles to Work, Senate Bill 3158. That's in the U.S. Senate. 3158. It's a bill that would lower barriers to entry for occupational licensing. It would limit the use of occupational licenses in the District of Columbia and on military bases. Now, the one great thing about this piece of legislation, Sam, is that there is actually a warrant in the Constitution for it. I mean, this is amazing, Sam. Typically, 99% of all legislation considered by Congress, in my opinion, has no warrant in the Constitution for it. But in this case, it does. And here it is, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. It gives Congress power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the District of Columbia. And here in the Constitution, as it is written, it says, over such district, not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. And so I have to highlight this, Sam. This is one case where a bill before Congress actually has justification in the Constitution for consideration of the bill. What do you think of that?
Well, all I can tell you is when government does this stuff, it's out of control. The supreme law, that's why I always point it out, is one of the great point backs, if you will, to the founding fathers, to the solution, to the rule of law, to morality, to integrity, to the proper role of limited defensive government, to the free market enterprise system, and more. And this case highlights it for sure.
Well, and if in fact the Congress does approve this bill, we are optimistic that it will help throughout the rest of the country at state and local levels. It would help government bodies to limit the scope of occupational licensing regulation. Now, the Campaign for Liberty is just one of many, many groups which have signed on in support of this bill, and so I want to to next take this situation in Utah, where there was an occupational licensure law up until 2012 or 13 that prohibited somebody from braiding hair. Can you believe that, Sam? Where it would be illegal for you to braid the hair of another person because you do not have a valid license in cosmetology. Now, it's not cheap to go get a license in cosmetology school. Tuition can cost $15,000-$20,000, and so it's a huge barrier to entry. That means my daughters and your daughters, Sam, in order to do cosmetology, they have to go to school. They have to spend, I think it's like 1,600 hours of schooling or whatever, getting trained, and they have to get a license and so forth. Well, that's just it's a barrier to entry, and it increases the cost to the consumers of getting their nails done or their hair done or their hair braided. And so here in Utah, there is a gal named Justina Clayton. She grew up in Sierra Leone, learned how to braid hair there. And when she was 18, she moved to America, got married, had a couple of children, went to college, and then after graduating from college, Sam, she found that the pay from an entry-level office job would barely cover the cost of child care. And so she wisely decided to begin working from her home here in Utah, and she started a hair braiding business. Not only was it satisfying to her to be at home as a mom with her children, but this hair braiding business gave her enough money to pay for the groceries each month in her household. She put an ad on the local website, and then right soon after she put that ad on the internet, she was notified that if she didn't remove that ad, then she would be reported to the state of Utah, and she was informed that it was illegal for her to be braiding hair without a valid cosmetology license. Well, she took down her ad, Sam, and then she sued the state of Utah. And in August of 2012, a federal judge ruled in her favor. Not that I'm a big fan of the feds ruling taking jurisdiction in a domestic matter such as this, but nevertheless, the federal judge ruled that the state does not have the authority to tell her that she cannot braid hair simply because she doesn't have a valid license in cosmetology. And so the following...
All right, quick pause. Hold on, Lowell. Details of Justina in seconds. Liberty Roundtable live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We're talking about Senate Bill 3158. We're talking about Mike Lee sponsoring that bill from the state of Utah, and we're telling you a Utah-based story about a gal named Justina Clayton. She learned how to braid hair as a girl in Sierra Leone, came to America. Started a business, went to college. She at first tried to work for somebody else, but there wasn't enough money to feed herself, so she decided to work from home, started a business. The government saw that she was doing it, went ballistic, said, "You don't have a license." She flat out shut her business down and sued the government. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. In August 2012, a federal judge ruled in Justina's favor. It's pretty cool stuff. But it just goes to show what we, the American people, need to do. The free market's being tampered with and shut down by government. Donald Trump and many others have talked about it. So has Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley, the people that I've endorsed for president and vice president of the United States. Lowell, this story highlights the problems with the government tampering in the free market.
It sure does, Sam. And as you know, the Campaign for Liberty is expressly in support of the free market and against government intervention in the marketplace. If you read from the bill, lines 548 to 551 here, it says the following persons may engage in the practice of barbering, cosmetology, aesthetics, master level aesthetics, electrology, or nail technology without being licensed under this chapter. A person who engages in hair braiding, unless it is expressly exempted under this section. And so basically they're saying that they're exempting from the regulation anybody who engages in hair braiding.
And what they really tried to do is admit she was right, but make it as narrow as they could so they could maintain control.
Exactly. My whole point here is that why didn't they just junk the whole chapter? Why didn't they just strike the whole chapter from the Utah Code? Why is it illegal to barber without a license? Why is it illegal to do nails without a license? You know, it just makes no sense to me. If you look at the statute.
Well, by the way, my daughter, she's 8 years old. She was doing my wife's nails yesterday while my wife was watching the conference that we mentioned earlier in the broadcast today. But even my 8-year-old daughter can do nails. There's no harm or side effects here. It all has to do with government control, sir.
It sure does. Now, if you look at the statutory definition of hair braiding, it is very interesting, even laughable. Let me just run through this quickly. Hair braiding means the twisting, weaving, or interweaving of a person's natural human hair. Hair braiding includes the following methods or styles: African-style braiding, box braid, cornrows, dreadlocks, French braid, invisible braid, micro braid, single plait, twist, visible braids, the use of lock braids, the use of decorative beads, accessories, and non-hair extensions. Hair braiding does not include the use of wefts, synthetic tape, synthetic glue, keratin bonds, fusion bonds, or heat tools.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean...
By the way, I think we ought to sue all government officials and say they all have been doing the invisible braid on each other's hair, and therefore they ought to be sued.
Well, so... Even though this bill does exempt hair braiders from regulation, It in my opinion, it has deepened the government reach into the lives of our countrymen.
The good news is that she won. The better news is that Mike Lee's catapulting on this to make a Senate bill. And the best news of all is we're all backing this and sharing it with you and saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is an area where we can make a difference. Just ask Justina Clayton and just ask Mike Lee. And we are asking everyone to support this good step in the right direction. Call your congressmen and senators and say, hey, man, support Mike Lee's Senate Bill 3158, would you please?
Exactly right, Sam. Thank you very much for making that point. We really do hope that our listeners better understand the adverse side effects that government intervention has in the marketplace, making it more difficult for consumers to get the services they want at the best price. You know, government intervention simply distorts the marketplace. We truly believe here at the Campaign for Liberty that the free market is the most just and humane economic system and the greatest engine of prosperity the world has ever known, Sam.
And the saddest part about this is a lot of times some of the most talented people would love to work for themselves, but they find the running a business, the entrepreneurial, just too onerous. And so they just basically bail and they go work for somebody else. They're just like, you know what? I start at 9, get off at 5. I don't have any problem on the weekends. My life is very simple that way. The sad part is it absolutely puts a huge hole in the free market, in the solutions, in the ideas. And some of the most talented people simply decide not to eat at the table of entrepreneurship in the free market. It's a tragedy, to say the least.
You know, by the way, we go down to Mazatlan for Christmas sometimes, and there along the beach, people come along and braid hair all the time. They don't have barriers.
They do those invisible braids, don't they? I just find that fascinating. What the heck is an invisible braid, sir? Come on.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's really popular. The girls in the group, they love to get their hair braided with the beads.
Of course they do.
It's just a lot of fun.
And it's the free market, sir.
And it's inexpensive. They can do it, and it only costs them a few bucks, and everybody's happy.
And the sad part about it, sir, is that you got to go to Mexico to get that done.
Yep.
Right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. The final our point we want to talk about today is Ron Paul. Every time he releases a column, I just think, how does it get better than this? But he does it every time. Wells Fargo or the Federal Reserve? Who's the bigger fraud? Latest column written by Ron Paul, lol.
Well, this is a great story, Sam. Wells Fargo Bank did not have a very good month last month, September 2016, because as reported by CNN Money, basically Wells Fargo has admitted that they have fired 5,300 employees over the last few years because these employees were secretly creating millions of unauthorized bank and credit card accounts without their customers even knowing it, Sam. And then these phony accounts would earn the bank unwarranted fees, right, and allow Wells Fargo employees to boost their sales figures and make more money. And basically what they would do is they would create a new account for you, Sam. They would move money from the account that you knew about into your account that you did not know about. And then you would write a check against your account. It wouldn't have enough money to cover the check, and you'd get banged for fees because you didn't have enough money in your account, and you would call the bank and complain, and they would look at your ghost account and say, hey, you got all kinds of money in here, right? Sorry about that, but, you know, sometimes they wouldn't return all the money. So it was a scam deal. And Wells Fargo was smack in the middle of this. They were trying to take care of it, I guess, but they did have a lot of employees, dishonest employees, that took advantage of that and benefited. And, of course, most of them hopefully got fired. But Ron Paul's point in talking about this is not necessarily to focus on Wells Fargo. In fact, he is saying that that is basically a distraction. He observed that, quote, in true Washington fashion, this scandal is being used to deflect attention away from larger, more enduring, and more important scandals, end of quote. And I agree with him, Sam. He agrees that Wells Fargo employees, the dishonest ones, should be punished.
And by the way, we agree too.
Absolutely. And then he asks this important question. How much larger is the fraud perpetrated by the Federal Reserve System, and why does the Fed continue to go unpunished? For over 100 years, the Federal Reserve System has been devaluing the dollar, siphoning money from the wallets of savers into the pockets of debtors. End of quote. Yeah, great question Ron Paul asks here in this column, which was posted at thecampaignforliberty.org and at the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And so why aren't we upset about this? Why is nobody talking about the Fed? Where is the outrage when you need outrage? I mean, we get angry at Wells Fargo, you know, for their little stealing of several million dollars, but we don't get mad at the Fed, who has stolen 95% of the value of the dollar since 1913. The last 100 years, the value of the dollars in our pocket, Sam, has disappeared. Over 95% of the value of that dollar has disappeared, and nobody's talking about it but you and me. Well, and maybe a few others, fortunately. We do have a bill in Congress auditing the Fed, and of course that's good news. There are a few people, but I just wish there were more people talking about the dishonesty of the Federal Reserve System and fractional reserve banking. But basically, Wells Fargo is too big to fail, too big to prosecute. There'll be more calls for tighter control and greater intervention. And as you know, in the end, Sam, bank and government regulators will still be the best buds back there in Washington, D.C. The bank's going to survive. Regulators will be given more money to exert tighter control, more scrutiny of the banks. But that's all courtesy of the American taxpayer, of course. You and me, Sam, will be paying more bucks for these regulators to do what they do to Wells Fargo, but won't do to the Federal Reserve.
Under the lie that they're too big to fail.
Absolutely right.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much, Lowell Nelson, for the breakdown. We appreciate you, sir.
You're welcome. Good to be with you, Sam.
There he goes, doing a marvelous job as always. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Become a member of your Campaign for Liberty chapter today. I'm telling you, Lowell, banging on all cylinders as always. For Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, check out these websites and donate today. We would like to thank all who have donated. We appreciate your absolutely needed support. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Check it out and get involved today. This nation shall endure.